Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part one of Women and the Ministry of the Church, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 34, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So verse 34 is where we pick up. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. And then he says, or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. So in a minute, I'll tie it together and, you know, make sure we understand the context and so forth. But I'll tell you a quick story. When Cheryl was young, and before I met her, there were many young guys that, you know, really hoped to catch Cheryl and become, you know, her man and become the son-in-law of Pastor Chuck. It was the motivation of some of them. But there was this one guy that came around, you know, and they got a little bit, you know, friendly together. And you know my wife. I mean, any of you that know my wife, she knows the Bible better than most anybody, you know, women or men. She's amazing, her knowledge of the Scripture and her, you know, her devotion to the Scripture. And you know, from the time we met, the time we've been got married, we've been, you know, reading the word together and sharing the word together. And she's always ministered to me because of just the rich understanding she has of Scripture. So anyway, so here's this guy. And, it was breakfast or whatever. They had a little date type of a thing. And then, you know, he wanted to give her a Bible study. And of course, this is what good Christian guys do. You know, they give their dates Bible studies. And so, you know, they sat down, they opened their Bibles, and, you know, he kind of read something, and then he started to expound on it and so forth. And as he was expounding, Cheryl, she kind of started to speak up and make a comment on it. And as she did that, he went like this. He went, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And he said this. He said, let the women keep silent. Now, you can only imagine what that did to my wife. That was the last date. That was it. This was going no further because, you know, don't tell me to be silent when it comes to talking about the Scriptures. But so, you know, this guy had that kind of an attitude that, you know, men are exclusively, it's given to men to teach the Bible, and women, you just need to be quiet in the church. So, and some people have misinterpreted Paul to be teaching that. They've misinterpreted this text here and another text that we're going to look at a little bit later. But if we look at the text in its context, we realize that that really isn't what Paul is saying. Now, let me give you the background. Remember, the topic is spiritual gifts, right? Primarily, that's what Paul's been talking about. But as he's been discussing spiritual gifts, the discussion naturally leads into the subject of order in the churches. Now, his final word in chapter 14 is, let all things be done decently and in order. So Paul's teaching here about women keeping silent in the church has to be understood in the context of the need for order in the church. What that means then is that Paul is not forbidding women from ever speaking in the church. He's forbidding them to speak out disruptively in the church. And when you look at it in its context, it becomes clear that that is what Paul is talking about. And especially if you just back up one verse. We started in verse 34, but if you back up to 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, or it's better to understand it, to speak out. But they are to be submissive, as the law says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak, and just add the word disruptively in the church, because that's what Paul's talking about. He's forbidding women from blurting out in the middle of a service, hey, honey, what does the pastor mean by that? Now, of course, these congregations were smaller congregations, and some people theorized that they might have been set up similar to the synagogues, and the synagogues were set up where you had men on one side of the room and women on the other side of the room. So if that was the case, then of course that you could see that it would be a real problem because they're shouting across the room. Honey, honey, what does he mean by that? And that would be, if any of you ladies started doing that right now, that would be kind of disruptive to say the least. So you see, this is the problem. So often, people draw wrong conclusions about what the Bible's saying because they're not looking at it in its entire context. But once we look at it in its context, we realize that that can't be what Paul means. He doesn't mean absolutely women are to never speak in church. He can't mean that because in other places he acknowledges that they do and he approves of it. So he's not, you know, one time approving and the other time disapproving. He's consistent all the way through. So if we realize that there's a consistency, then we have to understand that, okay, he's not talking about just speaking. He's talking specifically about disruptive speech. So, with that, and we'll come back to the remainder of the passage there and just tie it all together. But one of the most often asked questions I get is this question. What does the Bible say about the role of women in the church? Now, that's the right question because what we really want to know is what the Bible says about it. That's where we're going to find the authoritative answer. And granted, the church has been, you know, kind of all over the map when it comes to this issue throughout its history. And the church has indeed been guilty of limiting the ministry opportunities that women have. And in, you know, various times in church history and in various segments of the Christian church throughout history and even at this very time, there are those who have a very limited view on what women can be involved in because they, not understanding this verse and another one in its context, they are insisting that, well, you know, women can't speak in the church, so then they're relegated to, you know, just doing practical kinds of things. So what are the facts on this? Well, first we need to know this. The Bible has many references to women in ministry. And I'm just going to use references from the New Testament. Luke chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. It says this, certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, provided for Jesus from their substance. So here we see that there were women that were involved in the ministry of Jesus, the itinerant ministry of Jesus. Jesus went, you know, from place to place ministering, and he had a group of people that followed him, and part of the entourage were women. And these particular women that are mentioned here, they were financing the ministry of Jesus to some degree. That's pretty much what it's saying. So we see women involved there in the ministry of Jesus. In Acts chapter 18, verse 26, we read about two people that we read about frequently in the book of Acts, Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And it says this regarding them, when Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. The thing that you need to note about this is both Aquila and Priscilla are ministering to Apollos. Aquila did not turn to Priscilla and say, shh, 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 let the women keep silent. He allowed her to contribute. He allowed her to minister, to give instruction to Apollos. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes this. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So here's a woman who is, as Paul says here, a helper of his. Now, the word servant is the word that is also sometimes translated, or we translate it sometimes as deacon. And we look at deacons as those who serve in the church. Now, some people say, based upon this, this gives the right for women to hold the office of deacon in the church. That might very well be true. I don't know that we could build an airtight case on this passage, but we certainly would have to consider it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul refers to Euodia and Syntyche as women who labored with me in the gospel. So you see, women are involved. Women are participating. Paul tells the older women to teach the younger women when he writes to Titus in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we studied already some time ago, Paul speaks positively of women praying and prophesying in the church. He mentions the fact that they prayed and prophesied. The problem that Paul had at that particular point was they were doing it without their heads covered and without cultural sensitivity, which would be a stumbling block to others. But he doesn't at all disapprove of the fact that they are praying and prophesying, which obviously means they're speaking up in the church. So you see, the idea that women have to keep silent, again, is not consistent in the New Testament. So right up front, we see that the New Testament writers, including Paul, acknowledge that women have a role to play in the ministry of the church. Now, probably the most loaded verse of all in the New Testament regarding this is Paul's statement in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, that goes like this: I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. So this verse has sparked a ton of debate, especially in the age that we're living in, the age where women have been greatly liberated. You know, people erroneously charge Christianity with the oppression of women. Look, the reality is women have been oppressed in every culture for all of history, and Christianity in its truest form has really been the greatest friend of women. It was in the cultural setting that the gospel went out into, not just the Hebrew culture, but the Greek culture as well, and all of those surrounding cultures were patriarchal cultures. They were cultures where men dominated the culture and women had their role, and they were consigned to that role, and forever that's where they were to be, and they were to never get out of it. But look, all the things we just read, these kinds of activities would be, you know, the women going with Jesus and supporting him, and perhaps Priscilla sharing with her husband. These are the kinds of things that would have been disapproved of in the larger culture. So we see the followers of Jesus are breaking cultural taboos. They're doing things that the culture would say, oh, no, you can't do that. You know, we don't do that in our culture. That's not, you know, traditional way of doing things. But right from the beginning, the New Testament starts to break down those things and show, as Paul declares in Galatians, that in Christ there is neither male nor female. It doesn't take away the fact that we have distinct roles and responsibilities, but it shows that the idea that somehow men were intrinsically superior to women is just simply not true. Genesis says that in the beginning, we're talking about God creating man, God created them male and female. There's absolute equality when it comes to value between men and women. That's the teaching of the Bible, just in case you've heard some of the other things, which I'm sure some of you have anyway. So, but this particular verse, 1 Timothy 2:12, has sparked much debate and controversy over the past several years. And for some, it just seems so out of touch with the egalitarian spirit of the day. You know, egalitarianism means full-blown equality across the board. Everybody's equal. Anybody can do anything that anybody else can do. There's no nobody's better or superior or anything. It's just a full equality. So saying something like this in an egalitarian context gets you labeled as sort of like a Neanderthal, probably more accurately like a fundamentalist bigot or something like that in our setting today. So because this statement seems so right-wing, as some people like to say, some have denied that it is even part of the Word of God. They just say, well, no, this just can't be. If they agree that the Bible is the Word of God, they'd say, well, this is one place where it's not, because it just goes so against the grain. I don't know if you remember a few years ago in one of the presidential campaigns. I can't remember who it was that was running. It was quite a while back. But one of the candidates, the wife of the candidate, and it was a conservative candidate, the wife said something to the effect that she believed in submitting to her husband. That just went absolutely ballistic all throughout the media. You know, people couldn't believe that a woman would say something like that. I remember, like, I think it was Nancy Pelosi who, you know, was publicly just talking about how out of touch this candidate was because, you know, he thinks his wife ought to submit to him. I mean, just an absolute opposition to that kind of an idea. So these kinds of teachings are not popular today, to say the least. Some say that, well, this only had limited application. It was only for that time. They say that about a lot of things today that we hold to scripturally. They say, oh, well, you know, they believed that back then, or they held to that back then because they didn't know what we know today. Oh, we know today so much more. And they, you know, they were just naive, or they were ignorant. That's the way they get around, you know, having to submit to the authority of the scripture. They just dismiss it as, well, that was a cultural thing. So what is the real answer to the question? What does Paul mean when he says, I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man? Well, I'm just going to tell you what I think he means. I can't prove conclusively that my understanding is right on it, but I think it is, and I'm happy with it myself. And I think the ladies will be happy with it too. I don't know if there's a, you know, a few guys might not be happy with it. But Paul uses these words here, a woman not to teach. And then he speaks of a woman having authority over the man. Now, when you look at the instruction in the epistles when it comes to the elders of the church, these are the very things that the elders of the church do. They teach and they have authority. That's what they do. That's, you know, that's the, an elder teaches and has authority. It seems to me like Paul is saying that a woman is not to hold the office of the elder of the church. That seems to me to be what he is prohibiting. Now, incidentally, in the passage in 1 Timothy, if you want to maybe just turn over there real quick and look at it, it's interesting because the context is eldership. It's church leadership. That's the statement is in that context. So Paul says in verse 12 of chapter 2, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And then, you know, he adds a few additional things to it that we don't need to necessarily even mention, because, but as you just follow the thought right through, then he says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of an overseer, he desires a good thing. So the context, he's talking about the position of overseer. And so based on that, and of course, when he describes an overseer, it's always the men are to be the overseers. He never gives place for, no instruction for women to be overseers. It's always the man. So I think what Paul is really, in the bigger picture of everything the New Testament teaches, I think what the scripture is teaching is not that women can't serve in a variety of capacities in the church, but there's one position they cannot hold, and that is the position of the the overseer of the church or the main elder of the church. Now, some people would argue and say, well, hey, I went to a church with a woman pastor, and she was amazing. She was a great Bible teacher. She loved God. She helped me in my spiritual walk. And are you trying to tell me that her ministry wasn't valid? That's a difficult one, isn't it? You've got what the scriptures seem to be saying here, and then you've got this experience over here. How do you reconcile these two things? Well, again, this is my opinion, but the way I reconcile it is to realize that there are rules and there are exceptions. The rule is the rule. So when you talk about a rule, you mean something that is consistently the same. This is the rule. The rule is women are not to be in this position. But sometimes you find exceptions to the rule. Not that God is, you know, making the exception by altering his word, but obviously God's making the exception to some degree by blessing the ministry of the person. And so you just have to look at some things and say, well, you know, I don't think this is really the way it should be done, but nevertheless, God is in his grace. He's using it. And so we just, you know, sometimes we have to just put things back in the Lord's hand. My wife had an aunt back in the early part of the 20th century, the denomination that she was involved in, which allowed for women pastors and was a very fundamental Bible-believing denomination, not remotely liberal, very fundamental. They were looking for men to pioneer gospel churches in the Southwest of the United States, and they couldn't find any guys to go. But a lot of women went, and they pioneered churches. They planted these churches in the Southwest, and they established congregations, and they led people to Jesus, and they taught them the word. Now, you know, some rigid person's going to come along and just dismiss the whole thing and say, absolutely not, God's hand was never on, he didn't bless anybody, none of those people were saved, you know, because you can't have a woman pastor. Well, to me, that's an extreme view on it. So that's, again, this is my interpretation. And maybe it's just because this one feels best to me. I don't know. You know, there are passages in Scripture that are difficult and they're controversial. But again, let me remind you of the things we've already looked at. Paul, when he says that I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, it cannot possibly mean, unless he's contradicting himself, that women cannot teach, because in 1 Corinthians 11, like we already pointed out, they are praying and prophesying and teaching are identical, pretty much. They're basically the same thing. It's hard to distinguish between the two. So again, we've either got Paul contradicting himself, or he's not saying what he has been interpreted to say all of these, you know, in some cases, centuries, that he's saying something else, that he's prohibiting. And again, just to clarify, this is my position. Paul is here prohibiting a woman to hold the position of the elder of the church. But some have done it in history, and we have to acknowledge that God has blessed it. So in those cases, we just have to say, well, you know, I don't know. But we don't then look at the exception and follow the exception. We don't say, well, God blessed this church with a woman pastor, so let's just go start a bunch of churches with women pastors. No, we just realize, okay, well, God made an exception to the rule there, but the rule is we need men to be raised up as pastors. It's like in the Old Testament. You don't really find too many female prophets or prophetesses, but you do occasionally find them. In the book of Judges, you find all of the judges are men with the exception of one. Deborah is a judge, and she's obviously a woman. So we don't follow the exception, we follow the rule, and we recognize that sometimes there are exceptions, and if God makes them, then what can we say?
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Women and the Ministry of the Church. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0220. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.